Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Grace Nurture. I am your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for tuning in on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you and invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Grace Nurture is a ministry of the Grace View Church of Christ located in Stone Mountain, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. On today, our words of encouragement will be presented by Brother Bryant Tansel. His topic for today is the books of poetry. Before we bring Brother Tansel on, I'd like to open the line to prayer requests. If you have a request at this time, please press the number one on your phone. And when the last four digits of your number are called, state the name and need of the individuals for whom you are requesting prayer. It is my request today, as in every day, that you all please continue praying for each other. Pray for every single family represented on the call, that God bless us all in ways that we stand in need of. On behalf of all of those traveling, especially our truckers, my husband and his friends in particular, that they will respect each other's space, allow everyone to make it to their destination safely. Thank you. Caller 2542, state your request.
Good morning. This is Sister Janice Graham. I'm requesting prayers for my health and my great-grandbaby's health as well, and pray for my whole family, and continue to pray for me with strengthening for the in the word. Thank you.
Thank you. 6635, state your request.
Good morning. This is Sister Brenda from Detroit. I'm asking for prayers for my brother Walter, who has been moved to hospice care, and I'm praying for a smooth, peaceful, dignified transition, and also asking for prayers of strength and comfort for the family. Thank you.
Thank you both so much for your prayer request. We'll now have our words of encouragement followed by our closing prayer from Brother Bryant Tansel. Brother Tansel, you are on the air.
Thank you so much, Danielle. Thank you, Sister Graham and Sister Brenda, who asked for prayers this morning. We appreciate everyone joining our call this morning on Grace Nurture here on June the 25th, 2021. Thanks for listening for a moment this morning. You know, when we open up, there's a lot of topics we could talk about, and today our topics are the books of poetry, and that'll be Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. Literature can be divided into two basic categories, and that's prose and poetry. About half the Old Testament is prose, for example, a narrative. And so far, that's pretty much all we've looked at in a lot of the other chapters we covered before today of the book that we're studying. And the remaining books of the Bible are mainly poetry. So this is especially true for the five books of poetry, which are commonly referred to as the five books of wisdom. So if you're looking for wisdom, read these books and reread these books. The difference between narrative and poetry can be seen in David's expression of his heartfelt grief over his adultery with Bathsheba. In the narrative of 2 Samuel 12 and 13, he lamented, "I've sinned against the Lord." As part of the healing process, he wrote in Psalms 51, in it he again expresses his repentance, but this time using Hebrew poetry. "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." In the poetic message, David does more than state the obvious, expressing even more passionately his deep regret for his sin. And these verses provide an excellent example of parallelism, so common in the Hebrew poetry. An idea is not just stated once, but repeated in a little different way for poetic effect. In verse 3, when he says, "My transgressions and my sin parallel each other, as do I know and is ever before me." He isn't just aware of his sin, he's constantly reminded of it. And in verse 4, the phrases, "have I sinned and done what is evil," express the same thought, but in different words and thus with slightly different meanings. Sometimes we hear people coming to church, they may come and stand before the congregation, and sometimes they report instead of repent. So let's make sure we're repenting of our sins. While the narratives of the Bible are carefully constructed, the poetry of the Bible is perhaps even more so. For the sake of our lesson, we won't delve into the fine features of Hebrew poetry, but rather this lesson provides a general summary of the five books of poetry. And when we talk about those books, all of the Bible is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction. And 2 Timothy 3:16, that's especially true of the books of poetry, often dubbed the books of wisdom. Each book approaches the meaning and purpose of life, and yet they do so in very different ways. These books help us to live happy and healthier lives. When we start with Job, it's while most of the book is poetic, the opening and closing sections of Job are actually narrative. The prologue in chapters 1 and 2 and the epilogue in Job 42:7-17 provide behind-the-scenes information of the story. Job is a rich and powerful man who serves God faithfully, and Satan himself comes along and requests permission to test Job. He cynically asks, does Job fear God for no reason? Through his malevolent power, Satan proceeds to take everything away from Job, including all of his 10 children, his material wealth, and his health. Because of the prologue, we as readers are privy to what Job does not understand. He says, why is this happening to me? This is the question he keeps asking over and over again, and this is a question you may ask yourself, and you may have asked yourself this question. And at the end of the prologue, three of Job's friends come to comfort him. When they first see him, they hardly recognize him. To make matters worse, they're not very helpful. In chapters 3-37, each of these friends confronts Job, insisting that he's lying about his innocence. They cannot fathom that a righteous man would be allowed to suffer so much. And each time, however, Job insists that he has not sinned and does not know why all this is happening. In his despair, he questions how God could let this happen to him. You ever question God and wonder why things are happening to you? Well, God has answered us back. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. So this complex book of Job helps us deal with the philosophical problem of pain in the world. This is especially difficult in light of the fact that we as Christians serve an all-powerful God who is good. Couldn't he just remove sorrow and death with a mere snap of his fingers? The irony is that while he is the main question being asked by Job, it's never really answered. Instead, God himself responds to Job's accusations of mistreatment in a magnificent speech recorded in Job 38-41. And I would suggest you read that anytime you want to question God and find out what his answer is. At the end of God's speech, Job doesn't say, I understand why this has happened to me. Instead, he respectfully replies, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes, in Job 42:6. Job's drama deals with some hard-hitting issues that are never specifically addressed in the New Testament. And in the later, we see clearly that God is a loving God who sent Jesus into the world, not to save us from physical pain, but from spiritual pain, in John 3:16. From the time Adam and Eve sinned, all of mankind has lived in a fallen world. Despite life's unfairness, we, along with Job, must always place our faith in God as our Redeemer. The book of Job is far more complex than this simple outline indicates. For example, the middle section in chapters 3-1 and then 42-6 can be broken down into four additional sections. Number one is Job's soliloquy. And soliloquy is the act of speaking one's thoughts aloud when by oneself or regardless of any hearer. So if you've ever talked to yourself, which I do quite often, this would be a soliloquy. The second point is three cycles of speeches by Job and his friends. The third point is Elihu's speeches. And fourth, we have God's speeches and Job's responses. Now we turn to the book of Psalms. When a copy of the New Testament is published without the Old Testament, it normally will always include the Psalms. It's perhaps the most treasured book in the Old Testament. They may be the songs and prayers of people who lived thousands of years ago before you in a very different culture, but they speak so well of our own thoughts of God. The Psalms are so endearing to us in part because they express such a wide range of emotions. There's not a single emotion that it doesn't touch on, including such feelings as happiness, sorrow, pain, anger, pity, gratitude, loneliness, fear, doubt, you name it. Look, for example, at Psalms 22 and 23, both of which are written by David. In Psalms 22, David cries out in despair. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then in the very next psalm, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In Psalms 23 and 1. As Christians live in a fallen world, we can relate to him feeling alone one moment and in the next sensing God's abiding presence. What also makes the Psalms so important is their numerous prophecies about Jesus or their predictions about Jesus. Even though they were written hundreds of years ago, Jesus is mentioned prophetically in many of the Psalms. They are dubbed Messianic Psalms because they refer to him as Messiah or Christ, which literally means the Anointed One. The New Testament authors frequently quote from the Psalms and demonstrate that Jesus was the ultimate fulfillment of so many of those Psalms. When you take, for example, Psalms 22 and 1, when David said, my God, why have you forsaken me? How could he have known that 1,000 years later his descendant, Jesus Christ, would say those words while hanging on the cross in Matthew 27 and 46? In fact, I believe Jesus is quoting those words because Psalms 22 is ultimately a triumphant psalm, not ending in despair, but expressing faith in God despite all the trials of life. Most of the Psalms were written by David, who played a harp as a young man. He isn't called the sweetest psalmist of Israel for no reason, having penned some of the most cherished passages in all of the scripture. Two additional famous authors are Moses and Solomon. While many others are anonymous, two short groups of Psalms are written by Asaph and the sons of Korah. And some scholars have suggested that the five-part division of the Psalms is intended to imitate the five parts of Pentateuch. The last verse of Book 2 says the prayers of David are ended. He only wrote a dozen or so of the remaining Psalms. So we're going to pick up next week on Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. But I hope today you can see how God is still working when we question him. And if you will definitely read chapter 38 through 41 of Psalms, you will find out God's response. So would you bow with me now in a word of prayer? Father, we come to you in prayer today for Sister Janice Graham. We pray for her health, that she may be able to get stronger. We provide her the encouragement she needs today. We also pray for the health of her lovely granddaughter, that she may be able to feel better as quickly as possible and be able to work through whatever health condition and concern that she's having at this time with her lovely grandmother, praying for her precious life. We pray for her family, and we also pray for her to be strengthened in your word, Christ Jesus. We pray for Sister Brenda and her brother Walter, who's in hospice at this time. We're praying for a smooth and peaceful transition during this time. We pray that you be with his family and help them think about the precious moments that they shared in this life with their lovely brother and maybe father, son. And we just ask that you walk with his family during this time. These are some of the most difficult times we face on this earth. We're praying a special prayer for Sister Brenda's family and her brother today. We pray for the victims of the Miami building collapse. Lord, we know that in Haiti they found people alive a week later after the earthquake. We're just praying that you're with those families and all the teams that are there to try to bring some sanity to the situation and to help the survivors get through. We pray for all the ones that have financial security. We pray for folks with traveling grace, our truckers on the road, and the cars, that they may all be safe during their travels. Thank you for our lovely Grace Nurture program. And as we go into this weekend, Lord, be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.